You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I never meant cares about
ain't
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning. I got stuck. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if you ain't got to do it, if it don't have to be done, stay home. Stay protected, regardless of what these governors are saying, regardless of what the government is saying about reopening businesses. I just seen what Trump said. He sent a directive down to make sure that the packing houses and the meat processing plants are staying open when there's a lot of coronavirus being spread. You know, I understand, you know, because this is America. This is the Western world. The Western world runs on finance. They don't give a damn about human life. You know, they don't care. That's witness. That's the history. Malcolm said it best. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. That explains it. So, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. That's timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcasts. Click on that. Look for, as soon as you click on that, you'll see African Perspectives right at the top. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. I will definitely be listening this afternoon and hopefully call in and find out what he's going to be talking about today. Oh, let me just tell you, he's getting it together. So, I mean, his little problems, had some glitches this Monday. I believe they've been worked out. And so I'm looking forward to Brother Franklin Jones's program from 1 to 3 this afternoon. Every Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix. On Monday evenings from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Wahad out of Philadelphia, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank. Black Reality Think Tank, Tuesdays from 8 p.m. until 10. Good conversation last night with some good brothers I know. Brother Kurt Marshall and T. Ray. And, of course, my good brother, Brother Alfonso Watkins, who was on the program and definitely going to get him back on, Brother Alfonso Watkins. So thank you for that program last night, Dr. Rogers. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening, 8 p.m. Eastern. With Brother Elliot and Brother Richard.
And then on Saturdays at 4 o'clock from 4 to 6, it's Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition. Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition on Saturday from 4 to 6 on Saturday. And then on Sunday from 7 p.m. until, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. until 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. That's right. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayembe, he's still waiting. He's still ready. He was ready to go once the all clears is given, or at least some movement could take place internationally. He's ready to take our people to Africa, take our people home so they can witness and be and have an experience of a lifetime. The former trip to Senegal and Gambia has been changed, and the new date is July 24th to August 3rd. The May trip, which is next month, May 25th to June 5th, may be, it has been done. I like that, Brother Mamani, updating. I love it, Brother Mamani Tayemba. This trip has been rescheduled for December. This trip has been rescheduled. The Ghana repatriation trip, which is going to take place in December, anyway, December 24th through the 5th of January 2021. So basically saying that trip, May 25th to June 5th, is not happening. And then the South African tour, November 20th through the 30th, November 20th through the 30th is still happening. And then the Ghana, December 24th through the 5th. And then next year, April 2nd through the 12th, going back to Senegal and Gambia. So check with Brother Bomani Tayemba. You can give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. You can watch, you can look at photos from previous trips at facebook.com/Bomani. You can look at video from previous trips at youtube.com/Bomani2007. Renoko Rashidi, Brother Baba Renoko, he is going to Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th. October 5th through the 16th, Uganda and Rwanda. Go online to drrenoko.com and look and see the beauty of some of the photos that he has and images that he has of the trip that he's going to take October 5th through the 16th, Uganda and Rwanda. And then October 22nd to November 4th of this year, a trip to Kemet, a trip to Egypt. Travel with Renoko. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha stands for Africa. Excuse me, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habesha Incorporated. That's what these brothers and sisters have been doing. They got the Kashi Project ready to go. The Kashi Project is brother stands for KASI, the Kweku Adua Sustainability Institute. Sustainability Institute being developed right there. Go online to Habesha Incorporated.org, and you can see for yourself what I'm talking about. And you will have to admit what I'm talking about is real. It's beautiful. They're doing the work. They deserve to be supported. Brothers and sisters, they deserve to be supported. Shrine of the Black Madonna. You know, even though they're opening up things, I'm not sure when some of these places may open, but I'll be contacting and letting our listeners know. And, you know, I know we had a plan on the 22nd to have I was going to do a program there, but of course that didn't happen at the Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. So when I drove by the other day, and believe me, the mall is closed, and so is West End Mall down the street from me here, which, of course, they have a plan on the West End Mall to be raised and a multi-use facility because Caucasians are, that's a prime area for gentrification. So, but Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar is open, and that is on 878 Ralph David Abernathy, right in the West End, right across the street from Soul Veg and the West End Mall. And they have We Buy Black. They got the laundry detergent, all kinds of all of this other stuff that they have from We Buy Black. And they also have the brother that sells Afroletics. In fact, my daughter bought me a hat and a shirt from Afroletics for my birthday. I love my daughter, you know. And so, and those shirts, of course, they have, they're sportswear. They have team names, you know, like the Rebels, like the Herus, the Omex, the Moors, the Dogon Starseed, you know, the Zulus, you know, Harriet Tubman, you know, Marcus Garvey. So go online to AFR-LETICS, Afroletics.com, or you can call. That's right. You can call Wadada's Bookstore. You can call Wadada's, Healthy Market and Juice Bar at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635 for what they have. Oh, beautiful juices at Wadada's. Believe me, good stuff at Wadada's. But they're also selling, you know, We Buy Black as well as Athletics and jewelry and incense and some good marketing there. There is no seating because all it is takeout. Go there and buy and what you got to do. All right. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Sister Yabaruti there, of course. Upcoming is going to be the, they have this weekend, and I hope to be there. I hope to, not physically there, but be there in terms of, you know, being supportive of what they're doing. Because I am in definite support of Brother Baba Baruti and Sister Yabaruti and what they're doing. It's a blessing. It really is. You know, unfortunately, some of us understand and see that blessing. And unfortunately, a lot of us don't. And so therefore, the contributions and what they should be given in support of, it doesn't happen. That's just being real, y'all. It doesn't happen. It should, but it doesn't. And it's just, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, because they are working hard to educate our people. So make check and money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, it's the $ Yah, YAAMBARUTI, Baruti, Cash App or PayPal. And, of course, this Saturday, for the brothers, that starts at 12, from 12 to 2 at Akabin Institute. But, of course, this is online. This is a streaming program. Common Sense Security. Common Sense Security. And make your $10 donation in Cash App and send it to Yabaruti at Yahoo. YAABARUTI at Yahoo. And then it should include your name. It should have Brother Circle, your name, your email address, so they can send you the streaming link for the presentation Saturday morning, and your phone number. And then for the sisters, it's Are We Our Sister's Keeper? You know, Are We Our Sister's Keeper? And I don't know why that's not coming up. But anyway, no, I don't want that. Let's go ahead and do it this way. And for the sisters, a $10 donation, $5 for younger sisters. And, of course, that's PayPal. And this is Yabaruti at Gmail. The one, For the men, it's Yahoo. And for the sisters, it's Gmail. And, of course, you include your information, put Sister Circle, your name, and, of course, the email so they can send you the link for streaming and your phone number. That is this weekend. My good brothers and sisters, Brother Bob Baruti and his lovely wife, Yah, are still doing all they can to educate our people, even in these trying times, and they deserve to be supported. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, as we like to say, family-centered economics. And the Thursday night broadcast is tomorrow night at 9 p.m. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. That is Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us. Something that we should definitely be doing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 28th. If they call you a Negroid, then I should be able to call them a mutinoid. We should come up with our own scientific terms unless the oppressed can't name the oppressor. I call them mutinoids. That's a scientific term. Baba Oshawa Kwesi. We used to say Ofay, cracker, pale face, hunky, whitey, redneck. Being stuck in a minority status of mind, seeing them as powerful, potentially benevolent humans without moral guidance from us, confused victims of a reactive frustration aggression. We now say ICE people, destroyers, psychopathic racists, born killers, Urugu, because we know the history of their spiritlessness, their act of spirit side. We see freaks of nature.
This call is being recorded.
We see freaks of nature. We know that history does not change a thing's essence. It reveals it. We learn simple lessons uncovered by our scholars, too many to name, too many to unname, who sacrifice all to reach back into the deep others and our past and to explain the present condition of our negation from the outside in. They studied the genesis and evolution of the problem. Through them, we saw through the few bad apples to one corrupted, seedless core. We learned to see it as them, not him or her, not the Klan or the World Health Organization, the WHO, but the nation of shepherd kings of Greeks, of Romans, of old and new Europeans, of Caucasian beings. We now see our mistake as a people of spirit, often too forgiving, for our children's good. We tried to measure them one by one when there were only one. There were only one. Affirm, I name our oppressors for what they are. Affirm, I name our oppressors for what they are. April 29th. Racial integration is the enemy of unity because it requires the integrating group to be submerged, weakened, and scattered as a minority in a society which the majority rules. Claude Anderson. The majority of Africans are being subintegrated into a European society because Europeans realize that at this time, little else can be done to those who use who are not being physically contained or otherwise disposed of. When you are a power minority in a world which hates your very presence because it reveals its lies, yet you must somehow be incorporated because there are too many of you to ignore. You had better believe that your assimilation will be no better for your mind than your physical enslavement was for your body. While a few of you will receive a larger, more desirable crumbs and prefer seats at the fringes of privilege, as a people, you will be kept relatively powerless, however propagated, to embrace being sub
integrated into a xenophobic, envious project, projecting people who naturally cannot tolerate real difference and who, if not for no reason other than this, are determined to genetically annihilate you, is to invite your removal from physical existence. Recognizing this and knowing that power is innate, we must know that subintegration is a choice and worst possible one for African people who want to remain whole. I repeat, recognizing this and knowing that power is innate, we must know that subintegration is a choice and the worst possible one for African people who want to remain whole. To demand to be incorporated into inferiority and therefore become inferior is not the mark of a self-loving people's wisdom. Affirm, I have no inferiorizing aspirations. Affirm, I have no inferiorizing aspirations. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to read what I usually read on Wednesday, the Kwame Nkrumah piece and the, Mirimba Ani and Lester Velt Middleton. And that's what we're going to talk today about, colonialism. Kwame Nkrumah was right. But that piece I just read to you, this is Sister Knight with The Blackest Truth.
Racism exists. The white folks that we interact with on a daily basis have no intentions of letting us know why. So let me go ahead and break it down. The people that classify themselves as white love to say that black people are a minority, when in fact we are not a minority, but it's in fact them that are minorities. Not only do white people make up less than 9% of the world population, they are also what we call genetically recessive, meaning their genes, regardless of who they mix with, are masked, or the appearance of who they are isn't shown forth in the strongest propensity. You have five groups of people of color. You have the black man, the brown man, the red man, the yellow man, and the white man. When we come into contact, whether it be a black man or a black woman, with a white woman or a white man, although each offspring has a copy of the dominant gene and the recessive gene, because we as black people are genetically dominant, we mask the appearance of whiteness. We can look at Barack Obama, an African father and a European mother, but apparently still black. We can look at A-Marie. A-Marie has one Asian parent and one black parent. However, she's still black. Always remember, the very first individual that was found in this world was a black queen by the name of Dinkesh. In my very first video, I named her Lucy. That is the European term. Dinkesh was found in Ethiopia, showing that not only is Africa the origins of all humanity and civilization, but it was in fact that a black woman that birthed all of us, all of our mitochondrial DNA will lead back to. So any misunderstandings on who came first was discovered years ago. But why does racism exist? How have we not, as black people, been able to love them enough, pray them enough, been tolerant enough, diversify enough, integrate enough? Why has, no matter what we've done to show this group of people that we're non-threatening and that we're no issue, does it not make a difference? It stems from the fear of going extinct of white people. Now, if you're the smallest group of people in the world, you're making up less than 9%. You're dying off sooner than you're being born. And then you're genetically recessive. What must you do to ensure that you do not go extinct? To ensure you have the best opportunity of living for the next 2 centuries. You must always kill the dominant gene being African people. You must incarcerate the dominant gene because this leads to decreased procreation. You are decreasing the probability of them having children. This is a numbers game. You must always come up with lofty tricks to depopulate. It's about white folks not being genetically annihilated and black folks not being able to procreate our genetic dominancy. Why does it seem like the darker black person gets treated the worst? Because you have more melanin pigment, therefore you are more of a threat. And many of us cannot truly grasp that we cannot love them out of this. We cannot pray them out of this. It's a matter of life or death for them. And the sooner you, black person, understand that, the sooner you will stop wasting your time and everything that is happening to you, you'll understand, okay? The sooner we'll understand, oh, that's why you keep throwing black men in prison. You throw black men in prison because you don't want them to have children. You are turning black men and black women gay and lesbian because you don't want us to have children. Oh, you're consistently pushing interracial dating because you don't want black men and black women to procreate. The more black blackness that we procreate in this world, the more likeliness that whiteness will go extinct and be annihilated. So that's why racism exists. And remember, today is a beautiful day. Dr. Francis Cresswell's birthday is today. Earth return is today. To Dr. Francis Cresswell, the queen who showed us why this existed, we love you today, tomorrow, forever. See y'all at the Blackest Truth. It's the Goddess Neath Night. Bye.
That's a beautiful sister. And she's throwing down big time. So you can go to YouTube. You can go to YouTube, The Blackest Truth, Sister Knight. And she has a number of them. And I'm trying to get in touch with the sister so I can maybe get it. And I know I sent it to Sister Marimba Ani, and she fell in love with it, you know, because she loved Francis. She was a great friend of Francis. In fact, one of my times with Mama Ani when Francis was living, they had a conference out in it's out on Cascade Road when you further go west, you know, past all of that. And there's a nice, beautiful outlay and halls and auditorium, beautiful auditorium. But anyway, we had a conference out there, Zaza Ali and Professor Griff. In fact, it was just sisters talking, Zaza Ali, Marimba, and Francis. And and of course, they threw down. They threw down. And, of course, I was at Francis Memorial as well as Mama Marimba and many others put on by Tony Broder and Brother Ray Wimbush. So, like I said, we're going to talk about Kwame Nkrumah today. We're going to talk about colonialism. As we know that colonialism is still very prevalent. It's still a big issue and a big problem, one of the main issues. A sister, Dr. Ikenna, you know, former ambassador, she's been talking about it, and she has the African Diaspora Institute, go online, ADDI, African Diaspora Development Institute. And, of course, her mindset is Africans in the diaspora, Africans on the continent, we all have an obligation to come together and to help liberate Africa. That's what we must do. In 1957, Kwame Nkrumah led Ghana to be the first country to break away from Europeans, from colonialism. Some years later, he said this. In 1961, the Speech of Freedom. I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not as just another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is not built on fear and envy and suspicion, nor won by the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and dedicated to the good of all mankind. I always liked that when I first read it. I've always liked that because that's who we were. We are the leaders of the world. People came from far and wide to sit at the feet of African people. The first people any and everywhere because of mass migration were African people. Or dark-skinned, melanated people. Then, some years later, he said this. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common fund and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we have suffered heretofore. What we're going to talk about today is the prophetic truth of what Brother Kwame Nkrumah was talking about. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior. That is the subtitle of Dr. Marimba Ani's book, Urugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior.
to understand the effects of Europeans, what they have had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from European thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe, that is demanded by an African-centered view, because we are Africans. We are Africans. And because the future which Europe leads us is genocide. It's genocide. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at the feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Now go, go now, and build for eternity. That was Baba. That was Baba Lestervelt Middleton. Lestervelt Middleton. If you go online to YouTube, I've been asking you to go on YouTube all day, haven't I? Check out The Blackest Truth. Do that, please, on YouTube. Just put in Blackest Truth in the search. But also, too, Lestervelt Middleton and the interviews he did with our great scholars, our warrior scholars. You know, fantastic. I tell you, I want to thank all of those who called in and wished me a happy birthday or online or whatever the case is, was, and I appreciate that. Also, me and Brother Quake, we had the opportunity to go up into the mountains here in Georgia on the state line of Tennessee and Georgia and so forth, and the beautiful mountains, although I know Brother Quake who was worried about his car. He got one of them little, you know, Chevy Camaro, little slick-looking cars, you know, cool-looking cars. That ain't made for that, them dirt roads and them holes and so forth, and them ruts. But we made it, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful trip, and I want to thank Brother King Ma'at and all the people there, and the brother and his wife, who are the proprietors of Camp Reggae. Camp Reggae. Yeah, it's beautiful. Kwame Nkrumah was right, y'all. Kwame Nkrumah was on point. Colonialism, just like Sister Dr. Akena, who has been speaking. You probably heard her. I've read some stuff from her. I had her taped on. I would love to have her live. I talked with Sister Ismira, and I had her on. Of course, Ismira is one of my dear friends. She's in D.C. She has traveled internationally and just a dynamic sister. So I'm still trying to work something out in that way. We'll see. I'm persistent. But the problem, and I mentioned this the other day, especially last week, especially when you saw, oh, man, I saw somebody send, I don't know if it was on Messenger or if it was on WhatsApp. I don't know. It just hurt me to my heart to even watch a band of Chinese beating up on this brother, kicking him, stomping him, each taking turns, beating him, picking him up and hitting him again. Just, man, I'm telling you, I think that with this situation, from a health standpoint, what's going on, what's happening with China, I'm hoping, and I always hope, because I'm eternally optimistic of African people becoming one and coming together, eternally optimistic, because African people should know innately that is the only way for us. The only way to stop what's happening in this world is Africa unite.
brothers and sisters, you know what the motto here is. You know what the mantra of this program is. Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Yes, I talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That is the only way. But it is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. There is nothing other than that. There is no other discussion. There is no other way. Kwame Nkrumah was right about neocolonialism. In his book titled Neocolonialism, The Stage of Imperialism, published in 1965, Ghanaian leader and perhaps the greatest African that had ever lived, Ashe Nkrumah, emphasized on the message on African unity as the only option for Africa's total liberation from colonialism. He emphasized on the message on African unity. African unity has the only option for Africa's total liberation. Even after independence, Nkrumah continued to call on African leaders to come together in formation of the United States of Africa. That's why I'm saying to you, the Pan-African Federalist Movement and all the brothers and sisters were involved with the October meeting, which will now be streamed. And then next year in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, coming together of Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora, I believe, and I better believe, and I know in my heart and soul that will be the day that we announce that Africa will be one. Even after independence, Kwame Nkrumah continued to call for African leaders to come together in formation of the United States of Africa, which, according to him, will help protect Africa from colonization, whom he says still has pernicious interests in Africa. Of course, and you've seen the results. Through the formation of one army, adoption of one currency, application of regional integration, and acceptance of one African capital state, Nkrumah believed that Africa would be better positioned to grow as a people, which we truly are. We're one people, regardless of our colonial roots, and to be better prepared for the second coming of colonialism. And we weren't, and it happened, and it's happening now. According to him, Africa was drifting into a more dangerous phase, which sees the continent rule through puppet leaders who do the bidding of the colonists, of the colonizers. Comptator bourgeoisies who served as agents for the captors and helped to carry out their orders. To mark the independence of Ghana, the first country to gain independence in Africa, Kwame Nkrumah, the hero of African independence and the first president of Ghana, delivered the first independence speech on March 6, 1957, to a large crowd of people, including representatives from the British monarchy and high-ranking British delegates. I hate the British and the French. Don't get me started. I ain't down with none of these Caucasians. Believe me, I ain't down with none of them. They are one, just like the Inyesesim. That's why I love the Inyesesim. With the boldness of a lion and fire in his eyes, not minding the presence of the colonizers, those dictators, he roared, "We have won the battle and again redirected ourselves. But our independence is meaningless unless it is linked up with the total liberation of Africa." To conclude his speech on that blessed day, he said, "Seeing you in this, it doesn't matter how far my eyes go. I can see that you are here in your millions. And my last warning to you is that you are to stand firm behind us so that we can prove to the world that when the African is given a chance, we can show the world that he is somebody and is ready to lead. We have awakened. We will not be asleep anymore. Today, from now on, there is a new Africa in the world." Unknown to Nkrumah, the same people for which he was ready to lay down his life, would, in a few years, February 24th, 66, celebrate the military coup that overthrew him and bring down his statue. The coup itself was welcome in Ghana with far more enthusiasm than it had been the case for independence. Only the presidential guard put up a brief resistance, and within 24 hours, the coup was over. Nkrumah's statue outside the Parliament House, which proclaimed him the founder of the nation, was battered to the ground and smashed into pieces. The bars were jammed with, the clubs were jammed with exuberant, you know, they were celebrating after the coup. There were demonstrations of support for the new rulers who styled themselves as National Liberation Council. Even members of the 74-man delegation that had accompanied Nkrumah to China deserted to their former leader. It's hard to read this man. Then Foreign Minister Saki, who Nkrumah had sent to protest the seating of a new Ghanaian government mission at the Organization of African Unity, the OAU, meeting in Addis Ababa, flew instead to Accra, where he pledged his loyalty to the new government. Sadly, this great lion will die of prostate cancer. The date of my birth, April 7th, 1972. April 7th, 1972. In a hospital in Bucharest, Romania, while in exile in Guinea. According to reports, the Ghanaian government, after Kwame's overthrow led by Kofi Abusa, rejected pleas from Guinea between 1970 and 71 to allow Kwame Nkrumah to return home for treatment after his ill health surfaced. If it had not been for the pleas of his mother, who said, "I want to touch the body of my son before he is buried, or I die." This great African luminary would have been buried in exile. The embalmed body of Nkrumah was exhumed and finally flown to Ghana on July 7th, 1972, in a special Guinea Air Force plane after months of negotiation. All flags were ordered to fly half-staff until the country's first leader was buried. Nkrumah's body was again exhumed in July 1st of 1992 and buried at a mausoleum in Accra, built on the same grounds where he declared Ghana's independence, Ghana's liberation, on March 6, 1957. Today, the colonizers are back. Within a space of 1 week in what appears to be a battle to dominate Africa, Theresa May, Prime Minister of UK, and former Prime Minister of UK, now it's Boris Johnson, Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, embarked on a pernicious visit to Africa. This was the formation of the internal battle over the dominance of Africa between Europe and the United Kingdoms post-Brexit. Kwame Nkrumah was right. The colonials, the colonizers are here again. And we are unprepared to put up resistance. This is tough reading this, what's next, because of China and its activities. All of this is very difficult because, I tell you, we got some callers on the line. 334, good morning. 334-414, you're just listening? Okay. 919, good morning. 919, good morning. Okay. 910, good morning. 910, good morning. Well, let's see.
Good morning.
Good morning, how you doing?
Hotel, brother.
Hotel. You want to make a comment? You got a question, comment, or concern?
No, just enjoying the show, my brother. Just enjoying the show, my brother.
Well, thank you. We'll continue to listen. All right. Appreciate you. I appreciate it. Continue to listen and tell others. Peace to you.
Appreciate you, too.
Thank you. Peace. 334-334. Good morning. Queen, good morning. Oh, she okay. Doing like Dr. Rogers did the other day, man. He had a bunch of calls and nobody wasn't saying a thing. 404-453. Good morning.
Hey, Ocho, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing well, Brother Wes. How are you?
Hey, I'm out here still learning right here in the belly of the beast, bro.
Yeah, that's what we're doing, brother. That's where we is.
Yes, sir.
That's where we are.
Yes, sir, man. What killed me, that noise ain't on my line, but, hey, man, this damn Ku Klux Klan governor, he want to open up all the businesses, but he don't want none of the state offices to open. You know that, right?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, all the people that's waiting on their unemployment, man, that's trying to get to the unemployment office, all them offices open. I mean, closed. All right? I've been out of work since last month, man, trying to wait on my unemployment, man. It's a damn shame, bro.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. It is.
And thank you. I got a little... I got a little bit. That's what I'm getting ready to do. I got a little bit of strategic stacked up, but I feel sorry for the people that they ain't got none stacked up and waiting on that money. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
So I'm kind of covered for a while, man. You know what I mean? I thank the Most High for that, bro.
Yeah. Well,
but,
same here,
these
man.
These devils is something else,
yeah,
man.
The same here for me, man. I'm hoping that the city of Milwaukee's, can continue to pay its bills and continue to have a pension fund so I can continue to live. Because believe me, if it comes down to that, I'll find my way up out of here, you know, and I'll go somewhere else, you know. So I'm just saying, I'm just keeping it real.
Yes, sir. I think the Most High, I got a couple of seeds I can throw in the ground if stuff get too crucial.
Yeah, and that's what the deal's going to be. You got to grow your own food. That's why it's important, man. Yeah, that's why it's important.
Because 1957, that was a mighty good year, man. You know, that was just beautiful time. That's the time when I got dropped down here on this plane, you know what I mean?
Oh, right on. Then we celebrate that, 1957, right on. We do.
Yes, sir.
I know, because I know my birthday is 53, and I share a birthday also with Dr. Akashimusa Barashango. I love Dr. Barashango. Mm-hmm. African holiday, European holiday.
I share mine with the great Richard Claxton Gregory, Mr. Dick Gregory, man.
Oh, right on. Okay.
So every time October 12th show up, man,
October
12th. I get improv too. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, okay. What's I know up? Some folks born on October 12th as well, man. I hear you. Right on. So, okay.
So I guess that's why I see stuff that a lot of people don't see, man.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, man. I said, so whatever I see, I just share it, man. You know what I mean? It's up to the people if they want to check the research, man. But it's really a good time to be alive, man. To see these devils.
Yeah.
Like that clip you played, man, that sister right on time.
Oh, isn't it? That's beautiful. That's you can go online and hear that beautiful Sister Knight on The Blackest Truth. Go to YouTube, put in Blackest Truth, and you'll see a number of her videos, some ranging into a few minutes to an hour, where she's dealing with issues affecting our people on point. There's another sister, Jasmine Drakeford. I don't know. There's some beautifully strong sisters. That's one thing we have to understand about us. The European is hardcore patriarchal, very, very male dominating. Very male dominating. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the Inye Say Sims I read, I can't remember the date, of course, but it was a quote from Francis Cress Welsing saying that the Caucasian woman envies the Caucasian man so bad, and how she is treated by him that she wants to have a penis, you know, because they don't see that's not that that doesn't happen with us in our in African people. There was always that complementarity. There was always, you know, a woman and a man. You see that
right
thousands of years before Greece. And when you look at Greece, you see men and men, men and boys. You know, you don't see a woman and a man linked up shoulder to shoulder, side by side, sitting on the throne together.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. And see, like my man Franklin Jones said, man, they doing all they can to split us up, man.
Yeah.
All they doing all they can to try to split us up, make out, make men want to be women and women want to be men.
Mm-hmm.
It's all subliminal, man.
Yeah. And Barack went to Africa, to a number of countries, saying, if you don't accept homosexuality, then the aid that mm-hmm. we give to you will be suspended. You know, basically a quid pro quo. So I'm going to catch some more calls. Wes, you stay. You
gotta get all right. Peace, bless.
All right, yes, brother.
Sir. I'm right here.
Okay. Let's try 910. Okay. Got a lot of calls. If you just want to listen, that's cool too. 919. I tell you what we're going to do. 919, go ahead. Okay, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Yep, go ahead. Hey, go ahead. How you doing?
Hotep, my brother. Hotep.
Hotep.
All right, all right. Dr. Bridges calling you from the Bull City.
Brother Bruce Bridges, I heard you last night. I heard you last night on the call, and I was glad to hear you, man. How have you been?
Oh, man, I've been doing pretty good. I'm, you know, like the brother just said, I'm just happy to be here.
I know that's right. Well, listen,
and I've called in and hung the phone up about three times. I listened to you, and I said every time I called and you were sounding so good, I got about probably four or five people knew. You probably see some more 919.
I do. I see another 919. I sure do. And thank you for that, man.
Because you were giving such good information, brother, and I'm a each one teach one kind of person, so. I just, you know, wanted to let you know that, but you just mentioned a couple of things I wanted to hone in on, and that one thing that you mentioned, when you mentioned kings and queens sitting on thrones, men and women, that reminded me of how if we had had a proper knowledge of our culture and our heritage when we were growing up, we wouldn't be looking up at kings and queens in castles in London, mm-hmm. and kings and queens in castles right. in Spain, and European countries, had we known our own history. We wouldn't be looking at Sleeping Beauty and Rapunzel going up to the top of the castle with mm-hmm. the long
blonde hair. Okay.
Yeah. Had we known about Sister Yaa Sanchiwa fighting against the Portuguese mm-hmm. down in Angola, you know what I mean?
Right.
Had we known about that, we'd have been much better off. But see, we've had the wrong models. We've always had the wrong models.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's by intent. You know, they're going to give you what they want to give you to keep your mind in that direction. They don't want
recapturing the African mind.
That sounds like a good book that somebody ought to get. That's standing right out here on my desk here.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Of course, I got your book right here on my desk, man.
That's good, man. It's really true, Oshie. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it. And a couple of people I called and told them to listen to you. I gave them a little bit of your background. I say the brother getting ready to get the hell up out of here. He's going to Africa. You were going to Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And one sister said something, and I want you to.
I can't hear you, brother. I can't hear you, Doc.
Okay. All right, what about now?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, sounds good. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I got the cell phone. I was moving around. I'm one place now. But one sister made a statement when I told her you were going to Ghana. She said, well, they got problems in Africa, too. And I'm saying this to you because I know you run. I want you to respond to it for her. You've heard that before. So,
mm-hmm. They have immense problems in Africa, all over Africa. There is no utopians. There is no panacea at all. you know. But I think that one of the things that I just read about moments ago about the unification of Africa, that is what's vitally important. Because when you see all these different countries in every country and you see boundaries, we didn't do that. Europeans did that. Those boundaries and many of the names of the countries, even names that we think that are African, are European, like Cameroon. So I'm saying is that I'd rather be in a world of my own choosing and struggle in that world than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. This is the Americans' dream. This is their dream. And in the Europeans' dream, it is a nightmare for us. It is a nightmare. And so I'm saying is that that's what we must come to grips with. Either we're going to be African or we're not. It's just like that saying that it was a question of a puzzlement, just like Malcolm said, that he said, Shakespeare, Hamlet, he said, to be or not to be, it was a question of whether. And that's our situation. And that's the same situation that Baba Asa Hilliard posed, to be African or not to be, African.
And you know, Oshie, that's a good point. And when you said that, you made me think of something else. And what you made me think about is back that, you know, like since most people have been staying in and stuff now, I've been doing a whole lot of reading, man. And I was just reading the other day when you mentioned the boundaries that were drawn, just to clear it up a little bit, because a lot of people may not know what you're talking about, but I know, and you know. But you're talking about the fact that you got Ghana here, and then neighboring Ghana, you got Burkina Faso, and you got Togo and Benin.
Right.
But those lines were cut out, and the countries were drawn and made by white people.
That's right.
And you even had people who were going there, as you well know, to cut those lines into those countries. And I could be in Ghana, and you could be in Burkina Faso, and we're the same people, but we can't even talk to each other because we speak in the European language, and they divided us in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right about that. And you made another good statement too. Before I hung up to call somebody, you said, I think you made the statement. Let me get it right now. You said, there's no doubt about it. Either we are, Pan-Africanism
right.
or die.
That's right. That's it. That's the mantra of this program, brother. It's either Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's it.
And I refuse to be confused.
Well, just stay on the phone with me.
I'm going to keep listening, man. You might want to go to some other calls. I'm with you.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Dr. Bridges. Dr. Bruce Bridges, brothers. Get his book, Reclaiming the African Mind, because you know that's what this program is about. And so we're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll have four more conversations and talk about the effects of colonialism on our people. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The times are going to give are Eastern Chimes. Immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming on Mondays from 6 to 8, and that's followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 until on Fridays. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition, Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition from 4 to 6. And on Sunday, if it's Sunday and it's 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then Monday through Fridays from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're going to go back to the phones. 646-646, good afternoon.
Odiosh, what's happening, brother?
Hey, Jay, how you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. How was your birthday, man? That cake you had, was it as good as it looked?
Oh, brother, believe me, man. Believe me, me and Kwaku, we toasted it. It was good, yeah, very good.
I figured you and Kwaku probably finished it off in one good sitting out in the sun, brother.
It was a beautiful day.
Hey, listen, Oshie, let me ask you this. Now that they opened up a little bit where you at in Atlanta, what has been the response of our community in regards to those, killing shenanigans they trying to place us in?
Well, let me just say this, because the information, I haven't heard anything too much on the other radio program, the local radio program. And of course, the local news here is kind of mixed, because it talks about the importance of, because you know the local news is ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, they're just affiliates. And so they're pushing that line, although they do talk to brothers and sisters who say, no, we're not going to open up, we're not ready to open up. They do point out the fact that the state of Georgia did not meet the criteria to open up, But the governor is adamant about that. And just as Brother West pointed out, there's some government buildings that are not going to be opened up, but he wants, bars and tattoo parlors and barbershops and beauty salons to be opened, But a lot of our people decided, no, we're not going to participate, because it could still be too dangerous. So, yeah.
Man, I'm glad to hear that some of these brothers and sisters understand that this is not about their safety and well-being of their family. It's just about them trying to get some money in their coffers. You know what I mean? To put a couple of dollars in their pockets.
Yeah.
I wonder how things are going to move forward in regards to this governor that you have, because he seems like a real dirtbag, man.
Hey.
A dirtbag is me being kind to the Yoruba devil.
Exactly, but, and you're right.
He
is.
It's amazing how these Yorubas have love for the evil within themselves. When
it is who they are.
It goes about, when it goes about hurting other people that they perceive to be of color, when it usually backfires against them because they expose themselves to these things. That's why I have to laugh, and you really shouldn't, but I have to laugh whenever I hear one of the deniers catch it and drop dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess that must be the sky daddy telling them to go sit your ass down and shut the F up.
Yeah.
And, you know, control your racism because it's going to cause you to come and, you know, sit down at my brother below's shoulder. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the whole thing boils down to, as we move forward, what position is the community going to be in? Because, you know, every day I have to laugh when I hear Alfredo get on the TV and talk about how it's going to get better and how it's going to open up and we're going to be bigger and I did this and I did that. When the dumb bastard don't even know, this thing ain't going to recover for a long time. I mean, in all honesty, I know you mentioned it earlier in regards to your pension in Milwaukee. And the fact of the matter is, depending on the relationship of that state with this clown, your state may have to go into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
If it goes into bankruptcy, then what happens to your pension? I mean, the reality is your pension is probably safe, but they damn sure gonna try and cut it at least 25%. And that right there will be probably with a limited fight, because unfortunately people don't fight for those type of things. You saw what happened in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You saw what happened in Chicago. I'm just, you know, waiting for something to go down here in New York. But I don't think that they can do anything to people's pension here in New York, because I guess the politicians put some things in place that protected it. So, you know, but, I mean, they changed the system. But the reality is the economy in this country is not going to get no better. It's not going to get worse. I mean,
not anytime soon.
Are you a meat eater?
Not anytime, no. Yeah, I mean,
You don't eat meat?
I eat chicken and fish and fowl.
Let me give a suggestion to anybody out there that's eating meat and chicken. You understand? I only eat fish.
Okay.
My suggestion to you is to go out there and bulk up, because the prices on poultry is going to be bananas. The prices on beef is going to be bananas. And, you know, most of us don't eat the pork, the pig. You know what I mean? I know Wes is a lover of the pig. Hey, Wes, what's happening, brother? I hope that money tightens up for you soon, because I know a rich man like yourself, you're not having no problems. So forget about that unemployment. You're too rich for that.
No swine, man. I'll eat no swine, man.
I know you don't, Wes. I'm just messing with you. But listen, Oshie, my suggestion is for people to go out there, if they eat those things, and bulk up for a couple of months.
I understand.
Invest in a food saver. Go out there, because I know you got this stimulus check. And if you can, go get you a car or something like that if you're a beef eater and have the
No, I'm not a beef eater. I'm not a pork eater. I'm a poultry and fish eater. But even at that, if it's not there, it's not there. You know, I'm very flexible. I could easily be, you know, a vegetarian or a vegan or whatever.
What he's coming to.
You know, I could easily be that.
Here it is. You had the Fredo yesterday make it mandatory that, you know,
these places open up.
Houses have to stay open. That's not safe.
No, I know. I thought
for the consumer, but nobody's really pushing the pushback on it, because, like people say, these major corporations are what's getting all of the so-called services and buyouts and things of that nature. But we as a people gonna have to do the necessary things to protect ourselves. Like, you know, you need to find a farmer, an Amish or someone where you can go and get your products and do the necessary things. You know, people that's growing their own food and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to change the way we see things. Yeah. Well, listen, Oti, go ahead and get somebody else on the line.
I appreciate it, Jay. Thanks a lot, man.
Happy birthday again. Just put me on hold, bro.
All right, peace. Yeah, these are difficult days. And I think that what we must understand is that there is a new day coming if we choose the right path. I believe that we are at the fork in the road. I say that when the fork in the road presented us back in the 50s towards African liberation and self-determination, when Kwame Nkrumah in 1957 did what he did, the civil rights movement, if we would have had a different direction, not just begging these folks for public accommodations and sitting on the same damn toilet as them or going to the same damn school as them, had we had the understanding that we're going to use this to unify ourselves, unify African people, we would not be in this madness that we're in today, where our lives are tenuous at best. You know, we could have, you know, we could have, let me see what we got there. The farmer's market, I've been told. Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I went up into Kroger to pick some stuff up, and I was surprised at how stacked it was, even when I was there about a month ago, when a lot of the shelves were pretty barren, and even in the frozen food area were pretty barren. But everything is looking pretty stocked up at this moment, you know. But we'll see. Like I'm saying, if we would have done what we should have done then, you know. This month, May, coming up this weekend, May 25th, that's going to be Memorial Day. But it's also African Liberation Day. And I know our people talk about, well, you know, we started Memorial Day, you know, Decoration Day. That was us, you know, and white folks just took it over. They take over everything. That's what they do, you know. But Memorial Day is the 25th of May. The 25th of May is African Liberation Day. Myself and Brother Damani Aquil and others, we're going to publicize and push a African Liberation Day program. And what I'm advocating is that it be done worldwide, because that's what African Liberation Day, that's what African Liberation Day is, a worldwide movement for African people. African Liberation Day. It should be celebrated more than any other day that we celebrate anything, is African Liberation Day. African sovereignty, independence and self-determination, African Liberation Day, more so than any other day. Because even Juneteenth Day, you know, I've always had mixed emotions about Juneteenth Day and made up laughing about it and so forth. But, we're celebrating Caucasian getting 2.5 more years of work out of us. When I can't remember the general's name, went down into Galveston, Texas and said, whoa, hey, y'all, we signed the Emancipation Proclamation back in 2.5 years ago in 1863. Here it is, June 19th of 1865. Yeah. 2.5 more years, Juneteenth Day. So to me, I have mixed emotions. And to me, the most celebrated thing is not Juneteenth Day. No, it's not. The most celebrated thing is May 25th, African Liberation Day. It's most powerful when it comes to fruition. It is something that is necessary and needed desperately for the future of African people. But see, so many of our people, you know, believe what Europeans say, as opposed to looking at what they do. They talk about humanity in glowing terms and flowery words and sayings and so forth, all the while. Let me get you on here, Queen. 404-573. Good afternoon.
Yes.
Hey, Queen. How you doing? How you doing? Hotep, dear sister. How are you today?
I'm living and abiding.
Yeah?
I'm living in the hopes for today and tomorrow.
I say.
And our glorious destiny and who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this talk lately that I have heard is just to show the differences I feel between them and us. And there's always been differences between them and us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, y'all go ahead, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And black folks are saying, like, no, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. You know, because our grandmothers have told us that, you know, something wrong with them people.
Yeah.
Something wrong with them people.
Well, you know, I didn't attend the conference that they had this weekend. I was told about 3-hour conference. It turned out nice. A lot of good presentations and so forth. And I think that's what it's going to be coming to when we have a large gathering is streaming and Zooming and so forth. And so because May is a couple of days away. And so I don't think that we're going to be being able to meet in the park on African Liberation Day or Malcolm X's birthday. I don't think any of those things will be able to happen. You know, I know that Malcolm's birthday.
23rd?
Yeah.
23rd, yeah.
Yeah, Malcolm X's birthday, yeah, is May 19th. That's a Tuesday.
19th.
Yeah, May 19th. Okay. And, you know, so, but I know that we won't be able to congregate like that. And so they have these ability to do streaming. And just like what Baba Baruti and Sister Yah are doing this weekend for the brotherhood and the brothers and the sisters, you know, rally. So, you know.
So what conference were you talking about this weekend?
Yeah, Baba Baruti and Sister Yah, they have a retreat this weekend online. And
well, I meant last weekend. Did you say something about last weekend you weren't able to tune in?
I'm not sure. But I know that, I think that's what's going to be happening, Queen, is that we don't have, I don't think you still won't be able to congregate, you know, the way that you would like. And so therefore, Zoom. Yeah. And conference calling will still be the norm, you know, for a lot of people. But,
yes.
You know, but for the sister circles and the brother circles that is coming up this Saturday, it's going to be done live streaming. And so he's saying for the brother circle, which is starts at 12 o'clock. No, excuse me. Yes, 12 from 12 to 2. What you do is you go online and put in, you know, the information. You go, if you want to, when you pay for the $10 donation and $5 for youth, you would go to Yah, his wife's name, Yah Baruti, YAABARUTI, at Yahoo for the brothers. You know, you put brother, the information that you put in is brother circle, your name, your email address, so that you can be sent the link and your phone number. And then for the sister's circle, Am I my sister's keeper? $10 and same applies. But this is Yah, her name, Yah Baruti, at Gmail, so they can keep track of men and women at Gmail. So Yah Baruti at Yahoo is for men. Yah Baruti at Gmail is for the sisters. And you put in sister circle, your name, and your email address and phone number. And that is this Tuesday, you know. So I think those are the kinds of things that are going to be happening like that, you know. That's for sure.
Oh yes, yeah. Absolutely.
You know,
because we don't do what they do.
Yeah, but
do what they do.
I'm talking about African unity, because to me, it is the only solution. All of us know that. We all know it in our hearts and our minds. You know, some of us continue to wish and hope and pray that somehow the Caucasian will have an epiphany and will treat us the way we should be treated as human beings. But that's not going to happen. I think I played the sister. She said why racism exists. It's just like what Francis Cress Welsing said, and people didn't want to go along with that either, that the Caucasian, after he came out of that dark age, that medieval age, and he kicked the Moors out of Spain and the Sephardic Jews out of Spain, got together and said, and I can't say it like they actually did in 1884 and 85 when Caucasians literally, physically, really sat at a table in Berlin, Germany, and carved up the map of Africa like it was a damn piece of cake, and everybody taking their shares. I can't say that's what they did when they came out of that situation, those dark age, but what seems to me is that they said, we may war amongst ourselves. We may fight like hell against each other, but we are going to come together on anybody who is outside of us. And then when they went out and then had sexual relationships, rape of the indigenous women that they encountered, and seeing that the offsprings did not look like them, caused an innate feeling of possible genetic annihilation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and also that, you know, the brothers seem to think that the women are, what's the word that I want to use? A non-factor. And I'm not saying you brothers, but I believe that that is the issue today. I really get the feeling that, you know, women speak and then they say, yeah, yeah, okay, uh-huh, and, you know, set it aside. And that's not a good feeling because we have experienced that discrimination as a people. So, yeah, you can't have unity without each other. And what we say is prolific and effective and necessary. That's why we say what we say, all of us together. We've never abandoned the African man. Never have we.
Right.
And I pray that we never will. But we really should, brothers, really should start. That's how we've made such strides in the past, in the present. And that's the only way we're going to make it is with each other, because you do need women. We do need each other.
That's right.
And we need men. I love the African man.
Yeah.
But,
I love the African woman, but unfortunately,
ain't nothing better.
Right, but unfortunately, because of how Western society has been predominant over these last century or so, the image of being melanated is being despised. The image of the African woman is to be shunned. Oh yeah, I know, Brother Oshie, they got dark skinned women on Glamour magazine, and that's only because of something being exotic. The thing about being a model is to be striking and to be exotic, to be looked at in what you have on and so forth. That's all that is. It ain't no love for African women. There ain't no love for African people. The only love for African women and African people is African people embracing themselves, throwing off the ignorance.
Yes, they're so evil, you know. Calm yourself. We need you, Brother Oshie. Zoom, I heard, is a Chinese entity. I've heard that about Zoom. And now all you hear is Zoom, Zoom, Zoom. I mean, really, people.
Well, no, really? I don't know, but I don't know who created Zoom. Obviously, if it is, if some Chinese, Asian did it. I think one of the problems is that when there's a large group, it gets hacked. Like last week, I think it was a HCBU, and it was hacked. They started putting pornographic pictures up where people were seeing. They showed Caucasians, I believe, in blackface and you know, Confederate flags and so forth, and Klansmen and all that kind of symbolism, you know. So to me, whatever vehicle you use, whether it's Zoom or teleconference or whatever it is, you know, hopefully it's secure enough that the people who get on it will be there earnestly and they get whatever information or messages that are there for you, you know, because I know
okay,
that.
Okay, but I'm not going backwards. I'm going forward. I'm not using anything that I know. There are a lot of internet conferences, conference calls, and entities that are initiated by us. By us. I'm not going back. I'm not touching nothing that got to do with them or Caucasians, period.
Well, I understand that, but Queen, but if you want to, there are some sites, and I agree with you. I understand what you're saying. But in terms of being able to have a conference where people can see each other, that's what it is. And just like these things that they've been having because of the quarantine, because of the COVID-19, they're having concerts and other kinds of things that are happening. That is what's being utilized. You know,
yes, I can appreciate that, but don't talk down to me. I'm up. I'm not somebody who don't know. I know. I just happen to speak plainly. Yeah. I can go up and I can go down because that's where I'm from. But, you know, let's keep each other elevated. And, yeah, we're going to have to do conference calling and all of that, Brother Oshie. You know, I love you from my heart.
Well, listen, I apologize if I apologize.
I'm going to get off.
Let me do this, Queen. If I talk down to you, let me apologize to you because that was never my intent. You know, I'd never disrespect our sisters and then my people, particularly on this program, and nor would I allow it. You know, so please accept my apology, dear.
Apology accepted. I love you.
I love you too, Queen. Have a good day. I'll talk to you later, dear. All right.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Now, you know, these vehicles, I understand what my sister is saying. You know, everything that is in society can be utilized by us for our liberation. In fact, as Dr. Clark said, everything you use must be a tool for your liberation. The education you see, all the information within the society, I know, and you know, that we are bombarded 24/7, 365, with images and notions of our inability and our inferiority by design. You know it, and I know it. And it's not going to ease up. In fact, it's going to intensify. Because the only way that we can stop this disrespect by Chinese or anybody, Caucasians, the only way that we can get all those entities out of the African continent and we can go there and in abundance, the wealth that is there, the mineral wealth that is there, the potential for development and growth that is there, will only be realized when African people unite. There is no other way. There is no other way. And if one wants to engage in prayer, in meditation, for that to come about, please do so. We got a caller, 919-452, 919-452. Good afternoon. Okay. I gave that number out and then they dissed me. You know, but I'm saying I'm trying my best and I will do it to the day I expire to help raise the consciousness of African people, make us not just aware but make us clearly understand what we must do. And it must be done regardless of whatever religious philosophy, political philosophy, whatever. Because the bottom line is we are African. That's what we're talking about. That's what I was talking about this morning. I had another article, a little bit longer article to read on colonialism. I'll get to it another day on colonialism. But the only way that we could stop colonialism and neocolonialism and puppet governments and so forth is that we, as African people, stop it. Come together. Kick to the curb all those petty differences. Kick to the curb countries that even those borders are false. Even some of the names are false. We can do all these things and to rearrange. We have a caller, says caller from Durham, Brianna. Okay. Hello?
Peace, brother.
Peace. How you doing?
Oh, this is still Dr. Bridges here. I've been with y'all a while, Brother Oshie.
Okay. Okay. Because, yeah, I see another caller from Durham. I only have the name, and it's Brianna. Brianna.
Okay. I wanted to make a couple of comments. You want to check that one first?
No. You go ahead. Because I've called on them, and they didn't respond, so I just got them. I just let them hang. You can definitely listen. I want you to listen. I love that fact, but I love the interaction as well. So go ahead, Doc Bridges.
Oh, yeah. All right. There are a couple of things, and I've been, you know, all the while I've been listening ever since I first called in. I take notes on things because I like to kind of, you know, being focused when I call it, when I do make a comment. There are a couple of things that you said. First of all, you mentioned a good brother. I'm going to start with him. Back in about 19, maybe 84, just to show you, you know, that I understand you and understand how long I've been at this. I had Ishaka Musa at my store in Durham, North Carolina in about 1984. Now, and you made a good point. He was definitely a good brother. And I had him from in 1984 up until he passed about 5 years ago. I had him at my store from time to time. And when I first had him in my store, just a little background, because one thing I like about your program, too, it's a teaching kind of program. And some people may not be familiar with that name, Ishaka Musa Barashanga, who's going on now to the ancestors. But before he became well-known and was going around doing lectures, he's from Philadelphia, as you know, but he also moved to Washington, D.C., out of Philadelphia, and had a temple in Washington, D.C., where he was a preacher, but Reverend Ishaka Musa Barashanga.
That's right.
And his temple was called the Temple of the Black Messiah. And after shutting down in Washington, D.C., he moved to Philadelphia, and I found out about him, and I knew some people who were members of his temple in Washington, D.C., in the late 60s and early 70s. And then in the 80s, I used to have him in my store, and that's a real good brother, so I'm glad you mentioned him. African People and European Holidays is a good book that he wrote. So I just did want to acknowledge him as one of our great, tremendous African warriors. Next thing I wanted to go to, I got here in my notes, African Liberation Day, because you made me reflect. I can remember back in the mid to late 1970s, when Kwame Ture was living, Stokely Carmichael, I used to travel from Durham, North Carolina for about 4.5 hours, that's how far I am from Washington, D.C., to African Liberation Day in Malcolm X Park. And it was a tremendous event. Kwame Ture would be there, and his assistant and a lot of other people from the All African People's Revolutionary Party, and everybody wore all white, and we had lectures, and we had vendors, and it was just a beautiful event. So I agree with you. That's one of the best things that we could have, and it's a shame that we can't really come together in brother and sisterhood like we'd like to because of what's going on in the world. But African Liberation Day, when you said that, I just used to love going there, man, and hanging out in the park in the late 70s.
Right on.
And hear Kwame speak, you know. And also, to talk about Kwame Nkrumah and Ghana liberation in 1957, and then to talk about Sekou Touré, and when he turned against the hand of France and said that he wanted Guinea to be free, and then how Jomo Kenyatta stood
Kenya,
up in, in Kenya, and how Julius Nyerere stood up in Tanzania, however you want to pronounce it, and how African leaders were all over the, and not to mention Dr. Nnamdi Azikiwe in Nigeria, who stood up in the late 60s to say that we are liberated. And we understand that was a great, glorious time. But as you said, and we, as we're talking about, our minds, even in Africa today, are still under the control of those same Europeans who took over the continent in 1884 at the Berlin Conference. They're not there, but their mindset is still there.
Right.
So much so, and to bring this out of history into the present, so much so that you have people like Isabel dos Santos from Angola, who has robbed that country of almost all of its resources, and the new president has put out an order for her arrest, and they seized all of her accounts in Portugal and in Cape Verde Islands. And the people are poor and hungry in Angola. And Isabel dos Santos, and I repeat that again because some of your people may want to go online and look her up. She's the richest black woman in Africa. She's about 50, maybe 50 years old at the most, 48, 50 years old. Living in England, has robbed Angola. She and her Congolese husband has robbed Angola of its riches. It's all its diamonds, its gold, and the people are poor. But that is because that's why we got to, on another day, we got to go into this colonialism. That's why we have to understand this colonial mentality that Frantz Fanon talked about, that we got to get rid of this old European, outdated, antiquated, stupid mind that we think that we're better. And see, she's the daughter of President dos Santos of Angola, but he had her by a Russian woman when he went over to Russia to study socialism.
I was wondering why she looked, she looked kind of like a Latino, don't she?
She does. She's a white chick because her mother's white.
You
know I like to teach, so I'm glad you picked up on that. That's true. So I wanted to mention that because I know our time is about out. Another thing I wanted to mention, too, is brother mentioned something about food on another radio program this morning before you came on. They're talking about these pork houses. And I got another friend who's on the phone who says she's about to become a vegetarian because of this pork. These pork houses are about to be shut down because people are dying. One in Sioux City, one in North Carolina, where I am, and because people are working close together and they're breathing in the pork, and so you get some pork chops or some,
But what is Trump saying? He says, "I want y'all to stay open. I want you to still continue to process and cut up and package and so forth." And deliver to these supermarkets pork and beef and whatever else.
And this is the time for the masses of the people to stand up and say, we are not going to work. We don't care what you say. We're going to stand up. And the people can control all that. As Kwame Ture used to say, the power is in the hands of the masses of the people. No matter what Trump says, no matter what the governor of Georgia or Tennessee or South Carolina says, if people just don't open, like brothers and sisters, like you said in Atlanta, say we're not opening up, and if they do open up, the masses say we're not going to support you. So what can they do but close up? I wanted to mention that, and then I also wanted to mention how they've taken the video down, a brother friend of mine named Brother Herbie White, who's probably listening now. They took the video down of Brother Rashid Bhattar. Now, I don't know if
Brother Bhattar,
They're taking it down.
Is that right?
You can't get it online now. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, because I know I got to go, because I got a brother coming after me. But I agree with you. In fact, I may even talk about that and may even play some of it, because if I can find some that is still working. But, I mean, he has been adamant about the medical condition that is happening in this country, particularly as it relates to 5G and vaccines and how evil Tony Fauci and Bill Gates are. So that's going
to
be
by the way, he's right here. Why, you know, he's in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
He went to the University of North Carolina, which is about 10 minutes from where I am now in Chapel Hill, but he has a practice in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
So just throwing that out. But he talks about how they put the virus together in the laboratory and what it's all designed for. And I have shared the video of it with a lot of people on YouTube.
Yeah.
But a brother called me this morning and said that his niece tried to put it up, and it ain't that no more.
Okay. Well, listen, Doc, I appreciate it. Appreciate your contribution. Appreciate you guys for listening. This is African.
And we'll be back on Friday, right?
Yep, back on Friday. You bet, my brother. Okay. Thank you. You're listening to African Perspectives. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahode means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace.